This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين وأصلي وأسلم على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I think the sisters are aware, but for the last few nights, inshallah, because of the setup for the Mu'takifin, you will not be able to come through. However, you could still listen and participate that way, inshallah ta'ala. I'm not sure if there's a screen projecting there in the back or not. I do see a couple of TVs in the back. I'm not sure what you see. There is, yeah. Alhamdulillah. The other thing is a reminder for the Mu'takifin or Mu'takifun, those that are here, inshallah. Maybe you know of the window. Can we speak to Brother Majid, inshallah? That needs to be covered up, inshallah. I know last year was an issue as well. So we'll get that window covered up, inshallah ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, you know, we begin first and foremost asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your i'tikaf. We know that this is a time that your patience, your health, your strength, your family, yourselves, your work, everything gets tested, subhanAllah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for every single one of you. Ameen. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us as well to be able to perform i'tikaf in the future. If we're not performing it this year, then maybe spend a day or two or even spend a few hours over here with those that are performing i'tikaf. I know it's something that I plan on doing, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me the time and the energy to make it out here, inshallah, throughout the day. Maybe after Dhuhr a few days, inshallah, we'll come by. Today we are going to take some verses from Surah Yasin and Surah As-Safat. Okay? Surah Yasin and Surah As-Safat. And we're going to do so, inshallah ta'ala, with a little bit of sarcasm at the beginning maybe. What I mean by that is, subhanAllah, many of us read Surah Yasin all the time. Right? Many of us have been brought up, raised, knowing that Surah Yasin is like the heart of the Qur'an, right? And subhanAllah, it's important for us to not only just recite from the Qur'an, but understand what's in it, and this is exactly what we're doing. But I'm going to encourage all the brothers and the sisters as well, subhanAllah, we obviously cannot go through the entire surah. And maybe it's something that we can do after Ramadan, right? Maybe that's one of the classes that we can do is tafsir of Surah Yasin and some of the important surahs that many people read all the time but don't really know of, and go into, you know, a deep explanation. But subhanAllah, we see some lessons in the surah that are absolutely important that many of us probably don't even know exists within the surah or is present within the surah. And we recite it over and over and over, not knowing that these lessons are there for us. So today, inshaAllah ta'ala, we'll just take a few lessons from Surah Yasin and Surah As-Safat, and we'll go with that, inshaAllah ta'ala. So we'll skip right through to verse number 46. In verse number 46 of Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Just give me one second. There's another mic on. Sorry. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْهَا مُعْرِضِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, of course, about the non-believers, right? The mushrikun. وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْهَا مُعْرِضِينَ. That there hasn't come to them a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness. From His signs, many signs continuously are coming to Allah, to us as human beings. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there hasn't come a sign from His signs, from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except those, the mushrikun, or those who disbelieve, they are turning away, or ignoring, or disregarding the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's absolutely important for us to understand, because we see that our own youth, Whether we like to admit it or not, our own youth, and it's because of ourselves as adults, we have not connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough, and we have not taught our children enough about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them to actually connect with Him. And we'll notice, subhanAllah, many things around us remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we fail to recognize that. Like earlier today, a simple example, around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was a tornado warning. Did you get that? Everyone got it on their phones, like, oh, tornado, like, what's going to happen? And I thought to myself, because, you know, what we did today was we took the train downtown Toronto and, you know, just walked around a little bit with our children and came back. Literally about 2-hour gig, right? Just go, come back, and that was the end of it. And it was just so they can ride the train. And as soon as we got there, we got off the train in downtown Toronto, and I noticed I got this message on my phone. Tornado warning. And my daughter Marwa, she can read now, so subhanAllah, she reads it and she's like, what do you mean there's a tornado warning? Like, is there going to be a tornado? Like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, right? We're looking at the sky, it doesn't look like there would be a tornado, but out of nowhere, a tornado could just pop up. And so she was worried. She's like, well, what are we doing? Shouldn't we go home? Like, you know, we kept walking and she's like, where's the tornado? When is it coming? Is it safe for us to be here? She kept asking me like these very subtle questions, and I knew she was concerned and it was constantly on her mind for the first like 10, 15 minutes. And I thought to myself, subhanAllah, and I actually, you know, put it up on Instagram just before I came, how quickly one test can come to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see it as a sign of Allah's greatness. Like, you're looking outside, you would never assume that a tornado is going to pop out of nowhere. Right? Yeah, the sky was cloudy and still is a little bit cloudy. It was much darker before. But we still would not assume that a tornado would just pop out of nowhere. But just as quick as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring a tornado, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring forgiveness and mercy upon us as well. And this is the month of Ramadan, and it's the month of mercy. And it's a month where we recognize from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness, from all the things that He has shown to us, that He is capable of doing just as quick as He could bring the tornado and all the destruction that comes with a tornado. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from any sort of punishment or severe difficulty. Just as quick as that could come to us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring forgiveness. Allah can bring goodness. He can change the state and the condition of the world. And you know, the other day we were looking at the picture of that building in London that burnt down, right? Everyone knows what happened, subhanAllah. And you know, you look at that building and I thought to myself, that's one building. Like, what about the people in Syria? What about the people in Burma? What's happened in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and in Kashmir, in all these different places on earth where you see destruction? In Philistine, subhanAllah, you see Philistine, Iraq, you look at pictures of Syria, and it's just mass destruction. Like bombs going off regularly, buildings being blown to pieces, you know, the walls just crumbled, the ceilings and roofs falling down on top of people, and you think to yourself, okay, one building, yeah, it's a big thing, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, one soul, you take the life of one person, it's as though you've destroyed or harmed all of humanity, right? But at the same time, subhanAllah, we look at this one building and we remind ourselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took this as an example for us. This was an example for us. It happened, and it happened just a few days ago. But just like all these people passed away in the building, 50-something people, I think the numbers are around 50, Allah can bring goodness as well. Allah can bring lots of goodness. And He brings goodness all the time. But we just fail to see it. How many good children do we have in our community that we just fail to recognize they're great individuals? How many good youth have grown up to be great adults that are contributing back to our society, but we fail to recognize it? How many times do we sit and make dua and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, thankfully turning to Him for the things that He has given to us and the people that are around us that are a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know, when you think of it all the time, all the good things that we learn from the people around us, Now is the time. In these last 10 nights, if we are going to connect with anyone, we shouldn't connect with each other and waste time talking about things that, you know, just burning time for nothing. But we should be connecting with the people who have had an impact upon us in our lives. Whether Islamically, whether spiritually, whether financially, whether it was just a smile, whether it was something that they went out of their way to help us with when we least expected it. Send them a simple message. Record something with your phone. That's what I like to do, is just record a voice message on WhatsApp or Telegram and send it to them so they know they're getting something that's personalized. And through that, you'll notice that lots of goodness will come with your showing goodness in return to others. Lots and lots of goodness. Because subhanAllah, we need to feel that motivation. And seldom do we feel motivation from one another. Right? We look at each other and a lot of the time we just compete. Brothers and sisters will see each other and say, oh, this person is doing that, oh, that person is doing this, okay, I need to be better than them in this, and I need to be better than them in that, or I need to make them look bad. But when do we actually encourage one another for the goodness of this ummah? Encourage each other to spread the khayr and the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we once upon a time benefited from it, why not share it with others? And so here we see that we should not be like those who disregard the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We understand it, we see it, we are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we continue to praise Allah in the goodness that we have around us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 47, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ قال الذين كفروا للذين آمنوا أنطعم من لو يشاء الله أطعمه إن أنتم إلا في ضلال مبين.
And when it is said to them, spend from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided you with, those who disbelieve say to those who believe. Now look at this. They say to those who believe, should I feed someone who Allah didn't want to be fed? Like, should I give or should I spend on those who, if Allah wanted, He would have spent on them in the first place. So why should I spend my wealth? And that, subhanAllah, you'll notice that Muslims think of this all the time. Because especially during this month of Ramadan, we're being asked for money, right? Every single moment of the month of Ramadan, you'll notice, you go on Facebook, you go on Twitter, you go on any social media platform, you walk into any masjid, you'll see, alhamdulillah, not in the front walls over here, but as soon as you go outside on the walls, you'll notice that there's, you know, a plaque or a board for fundraising, which is good, alhamdulillah, we're always encouraging each other. But sometimes within us, in our minds, in our hearts, we think to ourselves, well, wait a second, like, should I be given to this? And if Allah is capable of making something happen, then Allah should do it anyways. Why should I be the one to help out? And subhanAllah, that's a very dangerous position to be in. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us here, giving us our wealth, and we use that wealth as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't technically belong to us. But at the same time, we feel as though we own it, and we own everything that we own, and we are in full control. When in reality, if we were to only share a little bit with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to share with, right? Because that's clearly mentioned in the Quran, those that we give our sadaqah to, those that we spend on in terms of zakah and so on and so forth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us more in return. I know the other day, subhanAllah, I was thinking to myself, this needs to be the month, or you know, because during Ramadan we give a lot, right? So this needs to be the month where we all become rich. And I thought to myself, that's really it, like that is the case. Because subhanAllah, we're always encouraging people to give, always encouraging one another, give for the sake of Allah, fi sabilillah, right? Help others, help the masajid, help the organizations, help the institutions, help the academies, help the programs, help the, you know, the seminars and things that are going on that are helpful and beneficial to the ummah. Help the individuals, help the families, help the children, help the orphans. Everyone is looking for help and assistance, and we're encouraging each other to do that. And we always say, the examples that we learn from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The more you give, the more you get. Give for the sake of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He'll multiply it and give you a lot more in return.
And all the examples, we know them, we don't want to go over them because you're probably going to attend or have attended a fundraiser at least once throughout this month of Ramadan, right? And you'll notice, subhanAllah, that we remind ourselves about it all the time, but we don't really take a step back. And I thought to myself the other day, this was, what day is it today? Friday? So yesterday, right? This was at the Sayyida Khadija Center. After Jum'ah, an announcement was made, and I thought to myself, this month, I'm going to make sure that I give as much as I can throughout the month of Ramadan, whatever we're capable of doing, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make me rich. And I was walking out, and my daughter, subhanAllah, I'll share this with you. My daughter, we were holding hands, walking out, and she was asking me, you know, what I was doing, because I was talking to some brothers before, and I said, you know what, don't worry, this month, this year, Allah's going to make us rich. And she's like, why? I said, because this month, we're going to give a lot of sadaqah. Right? The more sadaqah we give, the more we give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more we get in return. And we notice we might not become rich, but at least Allah will make us content with what we have. We will be satisfied with what we earn. We will be happy and pleased that alhamdulillah we have the things that other people don't have. And we'll notice that we are still content. We are still living comfortably. And Allah will put barakah in our earnings and barakah in the little that we might even have. And so it's not a matter of becoming rich in terms of our, you know, wealth in our accounts or looking at the numbers in our bank account getting longer and longer and longer. No, it's a matter of becoming rich with the contentment that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our hearts, in our minds, we are happy with what Allah has given to us. And so we should be giving more for the sake of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only throughout this month of Ramadan. And I'm not doing a fundraising pitch, right? What I am doing is encouraging us to look at ourselves as the ones who are benefiting. We are the ones that are benefiting. And in return, Allah benefits others with the wealth that they receive from us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put barakah in the wealth that we have spent as well. Not only in the wealth that we earn, but in the wealth that we have spent for those who don't have, so that they can have a lot more. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Him to do that. Ameen. We move on. In verse number 48, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. In verse number 48 of Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us how the mushrikeen, they say, مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ. When is the sign? Or when is the calamity? Or when is the punishment? Or when is the end of time going to come? Always asking for specifics. And let's focus on the end of time. Ask yourself this question. If we knew when the day of judgment was going to come, or let's make it even simpler, if we knew when our lives were going to end, would we actually be sitting here right now? Right. Many of you are shaking your heads, right? Saying no, we wouldn't be here. Now some of us are thinking, why wouldn't we be here? But if we knew that we still have another 35 years to live, then many people would say, well, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful and I have 35 years to live, then I could live the next 30 years however I want and then spend the last 5 years in ibadah, seeking repentance, asking for forgiveness, and preparing for the time when I know I'm going to return to Allah. But because there's an uncertainty that we do not know when we will return to Allah, we do not know when our life will end, we do not know when this world will end, when the day of judgment will come, we now have to push and give everything that we have all the time. As in every single moment of our day and our night needs to be a moment where I am upon iman, where I am upon ihsan, where I am doing what is right according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I don't know if the next minute will be my last. Right? And so subhanAllah, that's absolutely important and beautiful for us to just comprehend that in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how He left certain things out of our knowledge actually benefits us. And the mushrikun, they get upset with it. They say, well, why don't we know? If Allah is so great, why didn't He tell us? Well, wait a second. Allah actually did that for our own benefit. So that we ourselves can continuously strive upon goodness and not live in destruction. And then people might say, well, wait a second. Well, why not? Why don't I have the freedom to live my life? And then at the end, just ask for forgiveness. That's great. Because people, ourselves, we might say to ourselves, you know what?
we would still live in goodness and righteousness. And that's fine, alhamdulillah, we might still do that. But many other people may not. And so in order to avoid the spread of fitna, in order to avoid the spread of evil, in order to avoid the spread of destruction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to always and constantly be doing good. And that's a big element of our deen, doing goodness and spreading khayr and goodness all the time wherever we go. Let's move on inshaAllah ta'ala to verses number, let's go to verse number 55 to 58. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now talks about the people of Jannah, those people that have been given glad tidings that will enter Jannah, that have noticed a sign or two on the Day of Judgment possibly, that they are going to be the people of Paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ الْيَوْمَ فِي شُغُلٍ فَاكِهُونَ هُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُمْ فِي ظِلَالٍ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ مُتَّكِئُونَ لَهُمْ فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ سَلَامٌ قَوْلًا مِّن رَّبٍّ رَّحِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ الْيَوْمَ فِي شُغُلٍ فَاكِهُونَ. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the people of Jannah, that the companions or the people that will inhabit Jannah on that day will be amused in joyful occupation, right? On the Day of Judgment, those who know and will enter Jannah, you'll notice, subhanAllah, not everyone is going to be suffering on the Day of Judgment. Not everyone is going to be, you know, worried. There will be people that will be comforted. There will be people that will be under the shade. There will be people that know that they are from the people of Paradise. We just fail to focus on them a lot, right? We always talk about us worrying and us drowning in our sweat and so on, which is a reality and we need to remind ourselves. But at the same time, subhanAllah, there will be people that will know that there's some goodness coming to them. Why? They just spent the time of the barzakh, the life in the grave, enjoying themselves in ease, in comfort, smelling the scent of Jannah, right? Smelling, being in a time of ease without the rib cages, you know, coming in and crushing themselves, without them feeling as though they can't breathe. They're just alhamdulillah, right? The opposite of a person who's feeling that destruction or that punishment slowly coming to them. And so the people who enjoy that time in their grave, on the Day of Judgment, when they're raised in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they know that something good is coming to them as well. Also, we see other examples like sab'atun, the categories. يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّ. The seven categories of people that will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shade that He provides on the day when there's no shade except that shade. And subhanAllah, we've covered this hadith before. For those of you that were not here, maybe go back on YouTube. You could find it on the YouTube channel, Al-Falah. You'll see it all there, inshaAllah ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that there are people that will enjoy that time. But here He says, إِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ. The people of Paradise, they will be in pure amusement, enjoying themselves when they enter Paradise. And that, subhanAllah, just makes us want to work harder. Because nothing easy is earned by sitting back and doing nothing. Like, you know, subhanAllah, the other day I mentioned the BMW, right? Do you remember that? You remember the example of the BMW that I mentioned? Were you here? None of you here, or none of you remember? SubhanAllah. Right? I gave the example of the BMW 7 Series, right? That I drove past on the highway, and I was telling my wife, like, look at this thing, it's a beast. She's like, it's about the same size as our Camry, right? And we have the old school Camrys, right? The newer Camrys are crushed. They look a little bit smaller. But the old school Camrys have a big trunk and a big hood. She's like, it's the same size as our car. I'm like, no, but this is a beast. Look at the size of wheels and look at it. It just looks like it owns the road, right? And so subhanAllah, Allah mentions here, like, you know, the people of Paradise will just be in amusement and joy. And that person who drives that BMW, or someone who, actually yesterday I was driving behind a Rolls Royce, right? I was coming to the masjid and I was driving behind a Rolls Royce. And I looked at this thing and I thought,
of the time where I rode in a Rolls Royce in the back seat, not in the driver's seat. I didn't own one, okay? You know, I was picked up once in a country, subhanAllah, and the brother who picked us up from the airport, he owns two Rolls Royce. And so he picked us up once, myself and Mufti Mank, in this Rolls Royce, and we were being driven to go eat. And we were sitting in this thing, and it didn't feel like we were driving. It was like we were parked, but we were moving. Because every single bump you go over, it's just like, you know, you don't feel anything, subhanAllah. And that's exactly it. But this brother, just a simple example, he worked hard and he still works hard. He's got that car, and that car is actually not the car he drives. It's a car he rents out. It's like a business for him. He has a few, you know, high-end cars, he rents them out. But for that conference, he just picked us up in it. And so, subhanAllah, someone wants to enjoy the pleasures of this world, they need to work really hard in order to get it. And the pleasures of this world are so temporary. Like after a few years, whether you drive a Rolls Royce, or you drive a Toyota Camry, or you drive a Lada, for those of you that might remember what a Lada is, they rust, and eventually you scrap them. Eventually they're done with, right? How many times, subhanAllah, I don't know if you've lived in Saudi before, but for those of you that have lived over there, we've gone to scrap yards in Saudi Arabia. You go to a scrap yard over here, you find like Toyota Corollas and, you know, Volkswagen Jettas and stuff like that. You go to a scrap yard in Saudi and you see Lamborghinis, Ferraris, you know, Porsche and high-end cars, and you're thinking to yourself, subhanAllah, someone spent so much money on this and it's not even a year old and it's sitting in a scrap yard, just collecting dust. And you think to yourself, how much effort went into working to earn to purchase that car or to purchase whatever it is, yet eventually it just rusts away and is done with. But in Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Hum wa azwajuhum fi dhilalin 'ala al-ara'iki muttaki'un." Themselves, the people of Jannah, and their spouses, they will be in the shade, reclining upon these couches that are adorned. Couches, subhanAllah, like beautiful, beautiful things that we will sit on. And you think of it in this world, what do we sit on? Okay, alhamdulillah, these chairs are padded, right? Alhamdulillah, they feel good, right? Alhamdulillah. But at least you'll think of someone, I've been to princes' homes, right? When I was living in Saudi, we went to a few princes, we visited them in their homes. And you sit on these sofas, they're the typical sofas, like inside the sofa is just foam. It's just what's on top. It's either leather, or it's nice upholstery, or the trim around it has gold, whatever it is, right? But at the end of the day, you're still sitting on foam. It's still the same thing. But in Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us even more. You're sitting on something you never ever have to think of, and you never even really had to earn it. Because the little effort that we do, trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us so much more in the hereafter, we can't even imagine earning and owning that stuff. Like just a simple brick of our home in paradise will be a brick of gold. That's one brick on the home that we own that has a brick of gold and a brick of silver and a brick of gold and a brick of silver and completing the entire home. And how many homes do we have, subhanAllah? Lots of homes. Why? Because we pray our sunnah prayers, the sunan al-rawatib, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala builds for us a home in paradise. 12 extra rak'ah that we have to pray in the day, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala builds a home for us in paradise. And when we think of it, subhanAllah, how easy is it to earn that, but how difficult is it for us to pray our sunnah? Right? It's difficult. It's not easy. Like today, subhanAllah, we were out, and we were just about to get onto the train, but we thought, okay, let's pray dhuhr. So we just went to the side, you know, just against the wall in the parking lot, and we just prayed dhuhr, myself and my wife was like, I want to pray my sunnah. And I'm always used to being like in trains and planes and all over the place, like traveling. Usually when it's time to pray, you just pray the compulsory prayer and you leave. And I actually thought in my mind, I was going to shorten my prayer. Like that's how many times I travel. And when I'm so used to just being in certain areas, I know, okay, I'm traveling, I shorten my prayer and I just go. But subhanAllah, I was not traveling today. Right? And my wife was like, I need to, you know, we're going to pray our sunnah first. I was like, oh yeah. So praying our sunnah, how important is it to pray our sunnah, subhanAllah? And we just, a lot of the time we disregard it. Like we just don't think of it. And we think, ah, you know, no big deal. What's needed from me is to pray the compulsory prayers. But we need to go to the level of ihsan. That level of ihsan is what will earn us ease, not only in Jannah, but ease before that on the Day of Judgment, and ease before that in our grave, and ease before that when the soul is coming out of our bodies, and ease before that just general contentment in our hearts when we're living, passing through this world. We earn that
by protecting what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made compulsory upon us. And that's just a bare minimum. That's just a bare minimum. We always say this, right? The importance of praying our prayers. And subhanAllah, when we think of it, what is the minimum in our deen? The minimum that we have to do is believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? That's the first thing. What's the second thing? Our prayers, right? We must pray our prayers. Then, fasting, hajj, zakah. Those are the bare... We have to do that. That's like the minimum that we can do in our deen. So we have to go for hajj if we can afford it, right? If we fulfill all the criteria. I know the other day a brother asked me, or I think it was a sister, can I take a loan to go for hajj? Okay, we'll talk about that another day. But subhanAllah, if you need to take a loan, you technically don't have to go for hajj because you can't afford it yet. Okay? So subhanAllah, that's the bare minimum in our deen. We should be fulfilling the bare minimum and then adding to it. But where we are in our deen is that we're struggling just to fulfill the bare minimum. And at the same time that we want to make ourselves feel bad, we also need to understand that at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, he would say that, you know, if a sahabi was falling short 10% in their deen, that's their destruction. There's something wrong there. But for us, at our time, if we are just fulfilling 10% of our deen, alhamdulillah. Now that's just something that we look at generally speaking. We're not saying just pray once every 2 days, because that's 10%, right? No. What we are saying is that we should be fulfilling the bare minimum of our deen and at least adding 10% to that. That should be the minimum, that we add 10% to the minimum that we're doing in our deen. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that easy for us. Ameen. So Allah mentions here in verses number 57 and 58, لَهُمْ فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ سَلَامٌ قَوْلٌ مِّن رَبِّ الرَّحِيمِ. For them therein is fruit. And we know, subhanAllah, when we're hungry and thirsty, like right now, you give us some fruit jot, right? And we're happy. Give us some fruit chat, and it's like, alhamdulillah, after that long day of fasting. I see Brother Asad over there. He's like, don't make eye contact with Dawood because I don't want to share my fruit chat with him today, right? Oh, mashallah, tabarakallah. Now, subhanAllah. The way that we are, subhanAllah, Allah tells us of the things that we love. When you think of someone who's in the middle of Africa, in the middle of Somalia, who has nothing, no food, no water, nothing. If you were to just bring an apple in front of them and they smell the smell of the apple, that apple would be like Jannah, wouldn't it? Of course, it would be like the most valuable thing to that person. They just see a drop of water, they would run to try and get that drop of water to fall on their tongue so they could feel that feeling of water that enters our mouth. And you know right now what that feeling is, because subhanAllah, when we're fasting throughout the entire day, and I know right now, like I'm struggling just to get words out of my mouth sometimes, because your tongue is just sticking in different places and it never stays. But subhanAllah, if we could just have a little bit of water in our mouths, we would be happy and content. Now imagine the person that hasn't seen water for days and weeks, and sometimes even, you know, just going off little bits of dirty water for months. SubhanAllah. How thankful we need to be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? We'll move on. So Allah mentions that He gives us fruits, and whatever it is that we request, whatever it is that we wish for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us. Salamun qawlun min rabbir rahim. And peace, a word that is mentioned to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you're at peace. Now you're at ease. Now you've entered paradise. You're in Jannah. Alhamdulillah. Everything is going to be easy for us, but we need to work hard in order to get there. We'll move on insha'Allah ta'ala. Let's move to Surah As-Safat. At the beginning of Surah As-Safat, which is the 37th Surah of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala titles this Surah the rose. The rose, right? We have a saf, and we have safan, and then we have safat, right? The rose. Think of it as the rose, subhanAllah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the rose here in this surah. He says at the beginning of the surah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَالصَّافَّاتِ صَفَّا فَالزَّاجِرَاتِ زَجْرًا فَالتَّالِيَاتِ ذِكْرًا إِنَّ إِلَٰهَكُمْ لَوَاحِدٌ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَرَبُّ الْمَشَارِقِ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here begins the surah وَصَافَاتِ صَفَّى. By the lined up rows, right? The rows that are lined up. And what is he referring to here? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referring to? Does anyone know? The angels, exactly. The rows of angels. And you'll see, subhanAllah, in this surah, Allah mentions the angels, and He talks about some of the functions of the angels, and what the angels will be doing on the Day of Judgment, and so on and so forth. And so here He begins, وَالصَّافَاتِ صَفَّى, the rows of angels that are lined up. And the angels will be standing in rows. And those who drive the clouds, who are they? The angels, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَالتَّالِيَاتِ ذِكْرَى, and those who recite the message, who are they? The angels. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ إِلَٰهَكُمْ لَوَاحِدٌ, indeed your God, your Lord is one. And so we see here, subhanAllah, that our Lord, and the Lord of the angels, and the Lord of those who believe, those who disbelieve, the Lord of the animals, the Lord of the worlds, the Lord of everything is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason why I'm mentioning this here is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا Sorry, am I reading this right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَرَبُّ الْمَشَارِقِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Lord of the heavens and the earth, and all that's in between the two of them. And this is a lesson for me and you, that as much as those who disbelieve want to think that their Lord is not their Lord. Their Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does that make sense? As much as those who disbelieve might think that, I don't know, some people believe in, you know, they worship the cow, some worship, you know, other animals like rats, some worship statues and idols, some, you know, worship different things. People worship different things around the world. As much as they want to believe that those things are their Lord, they aren't. And we need to understand that those things that they worship are not their Lord. And that's what made the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more powerful when dealing with their people, is because they considered even those who disbelieve to be just like them. As in human beings. They considered them to be human beings. And you and I, subhanAllah, this is a mistake that we make as Muslims. We look at others and we just say, oh, okay, لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَلْيَدِينَ. Right? That you have your deen and we have our deen, and you do what you want and we're going to do what we want. No, we should want for them what we have. We should want goodness for them just like we have for ourselves. And that's important, subhanAllah, because many of us don't see it that way. We just say, okay, leave them upon what they're on. No, our mission is not to leave them. Our mission is to call them. Our mission is to invite them. Our mission is to show them the right way in our actions, in our statements, and our behavior, and our interactions, and so on and so forth. And that's what's needed from us, subhanAllah, is that we understand mentally, and I want you to try and do this later on today, inshaAllah, maybe when you're laying down at night. Think of this, that the Lord of those who disbelieve is still the Lord of those who believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just one. Allah. As much as they may think and do and act otherwise, it doesn't matter. That doesn't matter to us. What matters is we try and get them away from that to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because we just finished learning about Jannah. We just finished learning about the bounties of Jannah. And it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy to get there for us. We have that mission of inviting others. We have that responsibility of showing others through our own behavior. You don't even have to sometimes go and speak to people and they will accept Islam by watching you. But we need to do something and try our best in order to make that happen. Now why I'm saying this is because a lot of us, subhanAllah, become very shy with our deen. We become very shy with showing that we are Muslim to others, right? And you'll notice sometimes for us, it may be easier to simply have a beard. But now, alhamdulillah, in society, lots of people have beard. It's like the trend. And you'll notice that some people will say, oh, you know what? As a Muslim, alhamdulillah, our pants are above the ankle. For those that, you know, are following that. I'm not preaching or promoting one thing or the other, okay, right now. We'll talk about that after Ramadan, okay? But what we're saying is, you'll notice, subhanAllah, people will say, Beta, pick up your pants, astaghfirullah, right? Tawbah, 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 right? Say all these things, encouraging our youth to be a certain way. For example, let's just pick on the youth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help the youth because they're always getting picked on, right? But subhanAllah, what we don't realize is that that's also become the fashion today, to have your pants above the ankle, okay? Even though the pants are tight, and we ask Allah to save ourselves from having those super, super tight pants that people are wearing nowadays. But the beard and pants above the ankle, you know, it's a trend. So Muslims nowadays are like, yeah, super easy to become a Muslim, or super easy to be a Muslim, super easy to portray the Islamic values. I don't need to show people my deen anymore because it's just the norm. That's what the problem is. The problem is we've become so comfortable with society doing what they're doing, and we're like, oh, alhamdulillah, now if someone wears their pants above the ankle, they're not considered weird. Now if someone has a beard, they're not considered weird. What are our sisters saying? Right? What are our sisters saying? They're like, well, wait a second, brothers, you guys are all cheering and super happy. Well, we can't have our pants above our ankle, right? We can't walk around with, you know, a beard on our face. We have to wear a hijab still, right? So the hijab is not really the style nowadays. So when is it going to be for our sisters? That's not the case. That's not the issue. The issue is, why are we not comfortable showing Islam to others? And not in the superficial things, not in just the simple apparent things, but why are we not comfortable showing people, you know what, you're praying in public. What's going to happen? What's the worst that can happen to us in Canada if we are standing, especially here in the GTA, if we're standing in public praying? What is the worst that can happen to us? Someone comes by and says, shame. Ooh, right? Alhamdulillah, we can do that. And the good thing about being in Canada north of the border is not everyone is walking around with a gun in their pocket like down in the US, right? And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help them and make that easy for not only the Muslims, everyone that's living in the US. I personally don't think we should be walking around with weapons in our pockets or underneath our jackets. I know, you know, last year, the year before, I went down to Texas and I felt really uncomfortable. To the extent that last year I was invited back to that same conference and I rejected the invitation. Because when I arrived there, I noticed people just walking around with guns on their belts and under their jackets, and I'm like, I don't feel comfortable here. I'm Canadian. Get me out of here, right? I need to be where people don't have weapons on them. Where the worst thing that someone could do is just say something to you. But we, subhanAllah, have still become very shy to show our deen. Why? We shouldn't. Portray your deen. Talk about your deen. Be happy. And subhanAllah, the other day we had this massive iftar at Celebration Square, right? There was about over 2,000 people that came because there were 2,000 meals and they were all taken up. And subhanAllah, that was done in public. And you know what was absolutely beautiful? I mentioned this the other day. What was really beautiful was at the beginning and at the end. At the beginning, we began with the recitation of the Qur'an. And there was a qari, there was an imam there, this Turkish imam, subhanAllah, I can't remember his name right now. And he was reciting the Qur'an with the microphone, super, super loud, in the middle of Celebration Square. It's open air, and you're just hearing the Qur'an echo in between those nice high-rise buildings, right? Those condos. And it was like absolutely beautiful. I never thought growing up, being born and raised here, not here, but in Montreal, but in Canada, I never thought that we would see something like that. I never thought I would witness something like that in Canada where the Quran is being recited publicly, openly, out loud, you know, and no one's doing anything. Everyone is sitting there listening. Oh, right? So beautiful. And that was at the beginning. And what was so beautiful at the end of it was at the end, we called the adhan out loud, and it's just echoing between the buildings again. And then we had this massive open prayer, subhanAllah, where everyone just prayed together. And it just felt like, alhamdulillah, why should we feel shy? Now I know in numbers we feel that strength. And I know that when we're with people, we feel confident. So sometimes, subhanAllah, what we need to do is find another person to be with. Like if we're with friends, and we're in public, and it's time for salah, and we're not praying, that should not be a time where we feel shy. Because I might feel shy, you might feel shy, you might feel shy, you might feel shy, but because the four of us are together, and we get together, and we pray our prayers together, alhamdulillah, no one feels shy. We're all giving each other that sense of confidence that we need. And so this is just an example with prayer. It should be across the board. Like your boss comes to you and pays you, and says, you know what,
I know you go for Friday prayers every Friday, and you know, but whatever. It's going to be too complicated for me to deduct that hour of work that you leave to go and pray and come back. So whatever, just take it. It's no big deal. But you as a believer says, no, you know what? That's your right. I'm sorry. I go and pray. Yes, you're right. But I will make up that hour, or I'll make up the half an hour, or I was late 15 minutes. So your boss sees you every Friday or every Monday, for example, you stay an extra 15 minutes or 20 minutes because you know every Friday you're late getting back to work from Jumu'ah. And your boss asks you after maybe a month or 2 months or 10 months or a year, like, why is it that every Monday or every Tuesday you spend an extra, you know, half an hour at work? Why do you do that? And you tell him or her, you know, it's because every Friday when I go pray, I sometimes come back. So I want to make up the time because, you know, when I go pray, I'm learning about my religion. My religion tells me to be honest in my dealings. It tells me to be this way. And it teaches me to be the best that I can be and give back to society. And to be honest with everyone, including you. And I know you're just giving me the money and you're overlooking it and you're doing me a favor, right? You're being lenient and allowing me to go and pray. Even though it's my right as a Canadian, I can go and pray, but still it's your right because you're paying me, so I want to give back to you. And that's just a simple example, that we're not giving back, we're actually just bringing it back to even. We're bringing it back to even. Now there are many other examples that we can use, subhanAllah. What other examples can we use? Parking. Yesterday I was at a masjid, and alhamdulillah, this month of Ramadan, Allah has allowed me to go to many, many different masajid, right? So yesterday I was at a different masjid, and I remember when I was leaving, this brother came in, and he had his phone, and he had pictures open on his phone, and he was showing like four or five of his friends, look at his car, man, look at how he's parked, like, could you, like, why would you even park over there? And they're just like talking about this car, they have the picture of it, the license plate and everything, and you know, it's typical of Ramadan, like, stuff that happens, right? Where someone comes late, parks their car. We should be people who, that never happens. And when it happens, we make excuses for that person. On the contrary, what we like to say is, brother and sister, please make excuses for all those 150 people that have parked their cars blocking everyone else outside. Make an excuse. Maybe they were all at the hospital. All 150 of them, right? Maybe this. No, what we should be doing, subhanAllah, is we should be the best examples to the rest of society so that when one person does do something wrong, we are all making excuses for them, saying that one person did this because there must be a problem, there must be something, there must be a reason. So alhamdulillah, let's just make the excuse for them, right? That's the way we need to be, subhanAllah. After Jum'ah, another simple example. After Jum'ah, we're leaving the masjid. And how many times do we need to be reminded every single week, when you're coming out of the parking lot, follow the rules. Don't go out the entrance. And what do we see? 150 cars going out the entrance. Right? And I'm using 150 because it's just a simple number. But we see lots and lots of people doing what we're not supposed to be doing. Another thing, we come to the masjid and we see all the shoes on the floor instead of on the completely empty shoe racks. And we ask ourselves, why are our children misbehaving? Well, why shouldn't they misbehave, right? When they see their parents misbehaving in the things that parents should do. Like, parents behaving or adults behaving is following rules. And when children don't follow rules, we complain, oh, the children are misbehaving. Well, children misbehave because adults misbehave. Misbehavior for an adult is not following the rules in society. Misbehavior for a child is, you know what child behavior is, right? And so subhanAllah, we can't complain all the time that our children are a certain way when we ourselves are not following the rules. And our children, they watch us, like the saying goes, monkey see, monkey do. Child sees what father and mother or what parents do, what adults do. They see it. And they know very well that if they can get away with this, then I can get away with a lot more. Because I'm a lot quicker, and I'm a lot smarter, and I'm a lot more clever than they are, right? And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to teach our children what is right through our actions in doing what is right according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we become the best, most exemplary individuals for the sake of pleasing Allah, we are upon the deen. We are upon the deen. We don't all need to be Imam al-Bukhari. We don't all need to be Abu Hanifa. We don't all need to be Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. We don't all need to be the greatest people of the past. What we do need to be is the people who implement the little that we've learned. Because when we all do that, the rest of society starts to change for the better as well. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to do that. Jazakumullahu khayran. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Wa jazakumullahu khayran. Wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.